And today is a...
Looking forward to. We're going to have a gentleman on here shortly. His name is Ken Seeley. And Ken Seeley, you might know him. He is from the show Intervention, A&E's Intervention. And we're looking forward to having Ken on the air with us, and we're going to ask him some questions and talk to him about, you know, his world. He's been around since 1989 professionally and personally, and he is the founder of Intervention 911, and we're looking forward to having Ken on the show and speaking to him more about what he's doing for people in, you know, to help him get into recovery, and he has dedicated his life to do that. So we're looking forward to having him on the air here shortly. I do have a couple of announcements. First of all, I want to thank our sponsors of the show today. The First Step Sober House is the one of the sponsors, and the other one is Destination Hope, and you can go to the firststepsoberhouse.net or destinationhope.net, and you can check out both of their websites. And we want to thank, of course, Chris from First Step, and, of course, Tommy and Ben from Destination Hope. We also want to take this time to promote some things that are going on here in South Florida, and one of them being the rallyforrecovery.com. Rallyforrecovery.com has been brought to you by intherooms.com. If you get a chance to go to intherooms.com, it's an interactive site that is a social network that really, you know, puts people together, and it's free. And you can go there and you can log in, and you can, there's about 212 12-step programs out there that you can choose from now, and they have a lot of them right there that you can join as a group. You can, you know, be a part of one of those groups and right online. The bottom line is that anytime we can be interactive and let people know that, you know, we're healthy and productive members of society, we can do it through a site like that. That is what the In the Rooms and Rally for the Recovery is doing, just that, on September 12th of 2009. It's going to be a walk, a festival, and a concert. And, of course, what we're looking to do is let everybody know about it so that way we can have a lot of fun at this event. There's going to be a walk to show the solidarity for our recovery. See, our recovery depends on a daily walk, and this is getting out there and walking for our cause and to show people we are healthy and we are productive members of society. The festival is going to be an all-day festival at Bicentennial Park, and you're going to have great speakers and recovery music and, you know, guest speakers and all kinds of different surprises going on. The concert that night at the end of the day is going to be really good. It's going to be Richie Supa, and he is, of course, from the band Aerosmith, and he's written a lot of their music in the past. And also, he just came out with a new song called In the Rooms, which is really, really good. If you get a chance to go to intherooms.com, you could actually click on the song and listen to it. It's a really, really good production. I loved it. And, of course, we also have another event that's taking place in South Florida. It's the second annual 12-Step Music Fest. It's November 5th through the 8th, and you can go to 12stepmusicfest.com. And from what I understand, this is the Woodstock of sobriety. So the first one I heard, it was like going to, fun in the sun and flowers in your hair, and I'm looking forward to that, too. And we're looking forward to being a part of both events. We want to take this time right now to, of course, let everybody know that if you do need help, if you're in a situation where you need help, you know, maybe you're a family member, maybe you're somebody that has a loved one that is having an issue, and they have an issue with addiction, and that means it can be eating disorders to, you know, gambling to buying too many shoes. And the bottom line is that all of those things can affect us, to right down to drug addiction and alcoholism. If you have a problem and you need help, you can call 877-799-8773, and they will, you know, of course, get you referred somewhere where you can get some help. And it doesn't matter if you're somebody that has, nothing, or you're somebody that, you know, from park place to park bench. I can tell you that addiction takes no prisoners, you know, it kills. So if you get a chance and you need help, you can check that out, 877-799-8773. The other thing is that we are going to, of course, ask you to go to holistichealthmagazine.com and put in an info at holistichealthmagazine.com. You can click right there to ask the experts. We have Christy, which is, Christy is a relationship expert, and she will be on with us on Friday. Every Friday she's here, and you can call in and ask about relationship problems. What we're going to do is we're going to go to our first break. When we come back, Ken Seeley's going to be on the phone with us. He's on right now, and we're going to be coming back to him here in a couple of minutes after our first break, and we're going to find out the information on interventions. We'll be back right after this message.
Do you think you have a problem with addiction? We can help. The staff at Destination Hope is dedicated to providing the highest quality substance use and
use. Of all the soldiers in the U.S. Army, only 1% earned the Ranger tab. They're some of the toughest soldiers in the world. And for 3 days, they'll go head-to-head to determine who is the best of the best.
These guys are definitely in the warrior mode.
The 2009 Best Ranger Competition
program, which allows the client's entire family to become a part of the patient's recovery process. Note that chemical dependency is a disease and must be treated as such. Destination Hope's team uses solution-focused therapies to help each individual achieve long-term recovery. Our treatment philosophy includes reality therapy, cognitive behavioral therapies, motivational interviewing, relapse prevention, 12-step self-help philosophies, and our proudest achievement, destination therapy. Destination therapy is a goal-oriented approach to life's bleakest dilemmas and problems caused and heightened by substance abuse. At Destination Hope, clients prepare for the challenges and realities of everyday life while receiving treatment in a supportive and structured environment. Destination Hope can offer many different types of unique treatment. Call us to discuss your options at 888-684-4673 or go to destinationhope.net. Give yourself a break. Make that call now at 888-684-4673 or go to destinationhope.net.
With NovoLife MetaBoost, it's time for a new beginning. NovoLife MetaBoost consists of a special proprietary formula composed of all natural ingredients. It's composed of blended amino acids as well as 16 herbal products joined in a formula designed to improve your body's ability to burn fat. NovoLife MetaBoost assists in rapid weight loss by increasing your body's metabolic rate. NovoLife MetaBoost provides stimulation for lean muscle growth and assists in balancing blood sugar levels and systematic energy levels while increasing the amount of fat your body burns while resting. Combined with a whole food diet, MetaBoost capsules are one of the healthiest means to aid in rapid and continued weight loss. Originally sold through healthcare providers only, NovoLife MetaBoost is now available directly to you at a reduced price of only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. That's right, only $19.95 for a 30-day supply. That's less than 70 cents per day to change your life. Call toll-free 866-759-3746 now to order your 30-day supply or go online to www.novolife.net and you can order there. You will change your life. With NovoLife MetaBoost, it's time for a new beginning. Call toll-free 866-759-3746. That's 866-759-3746. Your smile is a sign of happiness and good health. And if you need to improve your smile, you need to visit Florida Dental Spa in Lighthouse Point. Dr. Gregory Gersten and his staff will introduce you to the latest metal-free, plaque-resistant porcelain restorations that will save you time and more of your original teeth, even making your teeth stronger and more beautiful than before. And Florida Dental Spa is a full-service spa. Don't forget to ask about Lumineers, Botox, and Juvederm for correction of facial wrinkles and folds. A new you is just a phone call away. Florida Dental Spa in the Venetian Isles Plaza at Sample and Federal in Lighthouse Point. Call 954-971-7778. Online at fldentalspa.com. The First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach has been part of the 12-step community for 14 years, and they've helped thousands of people to recover from addiction and the issues surrounding addiction. First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach is a sober living community built on the 12-step approach. Male or female, you can learn to be responsible again. Their 3 to 6 month intensive sober living house features a compassionate and structured program, and they work with attorneys and the courts. Call the First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach today, 954-942-7414. That's 954-942-7414. Or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com. Remember, If the elevator to your success is broken, you must take the steps. Take the first step today by calling First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach, 954-942-7414, or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com. You are invited to get interactive with the Holistic Health Magazine show. Email your questions and comments to info@holistichealthmagazine.com. That's info@holistichealthmagazine.com. Now, back to today's show.
All right, welcome back to the show, the Holistic Health Magazine radio show, and it's all about recovery. And we are here today, live from WNN 1470 AM out of Boca. And we are currently on the line with a nice gentleman. His name is Ken Seely, and he is with Intervention A&E, and he is also the founder of Intervention 911. Ken, how you doing today?
Good, good. Thanks for having me.
You're proud of you? That's a beautiful thing. I understand you've been personally and professionally in this since 1989. Is that correct?
That is. I just celebrated over 20 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Did you ever think that when you first got sober that, you know, they'd say that we cut ourselves short, you know, and, you know, what we think might take place in our lives and then what really takes place when we let go and let God? Have you found that to be true in your life?
Oh, absolutely. I would, you know, if I would have sat down even 10 years ago and said, what does the future have ahead of me? And I would never be close to what would be on that list if I was to put a list together. And I'm pretty sure if I continue on this path, if I put a list together today, in the next 10 years, it'll quadruple or multiply by millions.
And it's a good start for especially newcomers that might be listening to the show today, to let people know that, you know, when that first 90 days or that first 6 months or even that first year, you know, you're always waiting for the other shoe to drop. And, you know, by the grace of God, if you work through those things and you don't pick up no matter what, mad, glad, or sad, you don't pick that first one up, then you have hope, like you're talking about. You know, things do work out. And have you found that in your recovery, that you went through the pitfalls in early recovery and that, you know, you made them, you made it through it with faith? How did that work for you?
Yeah, I mean, I was one of the fortunate ones that, you know, in my first 2 weeks of treatment, I realized that I had a disease that was going to kill me. And so and through a lot of prayer, my obsession, my need to have the drug and the drink was lifted. So that part was pretty easy for me because, and I'm not saying it was easy that, you know, it just vanished. I did the work. You know, I did a lot of praying. I did a lot of, you know, pleading, please help me get through this, and begging. And through that, I was able to, you know, have the obsession lifted. And now, you know, in that time that I was in treatment, I realized that if I pick up any mind-altering substance, it'll kill me. And I was granted that gift. And I really believe that if anybody, even through the tough times, just do what the program teaches. It's so simple. We make it so complicated in our minds, but it is really so simple. And if you just follow those simple 12 steps and work with a sponsor and do what is in front of you, you know, you never have to have that life again, and you will get gifts, as I have gotten. I have received so many gifts from this program. I mean, it's not about financial. It's not about, you know, fame or fortune or any of that. What it's really about is building relationship with family and building relationships with friends and being able to help the newcomer. And, you know, those are the gifts. Those are the highs that I get that are so much higher than any other drug has ever gotten me before in my life.
And when you talk about helping the newcomer and giving it back and doing all of those things, and do you believe that that's what sustains you each day from not picking up?
Yeah, I that's a huge part of it is, you know, and I think the other part that is really important is that is primary in my life. You know, nothing else is more important than my relationship with my higher power that I call God. You know, nothing is more important than that relationship. Mm-hmm. And anything that I could do on a daily basis to strengthen that relationship and giving other people the tool to build that relationship, the tools necessary, is really my common purpose. That's my only purpose in this entire life that I'm here to do. And because of that being primary, everything else in my life kind of falls into place. And everything is presented to me as, you know, another gift. But that is my primary purpose, and that's in the core of my being, is that, you know, just building that relationship and strengthening it and making sure that I work this program. And that's how I got to this point, is through those 12 steps.
Mm. And did you find that, you know, as you your daily walk and you're in tune with God, that isn't it amazing how he strategically places people in our lives that are supposed to be there at the time that they're supposed to be there?
Oh, it's just heaven how it just falls into place. And I also believe that, you know, there's been many of times that the gifts have been presented to me, but because I wasn't in the right space or in the right frame of mind, I think they passed me on at an earlier stage in my life. So, you know, I think the gifts are always there. They present themselves constantly, but it's only if I'm there and able to hear them and receive them do I get them.
And you find that you can't let those things that, you know, the programming God has given you, you know, distract you from hearing that message, sure.
No, like I said, that is key, that is primary. You know, everything else is, you know, my career is secondary, everything. I mean, without that relationship, I don't have a career. I don't have the contentment of feeling comfortable in Ken's skin. Mm. And that's really the gift.
And Ken, when you finally made the decision to change your life, you know, what was happening prior to that? For our listeners, what were you going through that you ultimately said, you know something, it's time for me to go to treatment?
Well, you know, and that's why I'm such a firm believer on intervention and what I do for my career is because, you know, I was hovering around my rock bottom for 4 years. I knew something wasn't right with me mentally, physically. I tried so many different things. I tried the 12 steps. I would go to AA meetings. I was in counseling. I tried all, you know, outpatient counseling. I tried so many different things. You know, I even joined a different religion. I just tried so many things to try to help me feel comfortable in my own skin. I knew that, you know, relationships weren't helping, jobs weren't helping. Nothing felt right to me. Nothing was enough for me. And so when I got involved with drugs and alcohol, the same thing. Nothing was enough. And so for many years, for 4 years, I hovered around that rock bottom. I just, you know, sat around there thinking, you know, something's got to give here. But I always used the drugs and alcohol because that's the only thing that worked for me. That's the only thing that made me feel complete. So you couldn't pull me away from that when that was the only thing that brought me contentment. But when they sat me down and did an intervention on me, I tried that. You know, I said, oh, I tried AA. I tried that counseling. None of that is going to work. And when I finally surrendered to it and surrendered to inpatient treatment and surrendered to going through the process and me, you know, when I would hear people say us at AA meetings, us, they're not like us, I could never relate. I never felt connected. But when I checked into treatment and realized in that process that I have a disease that was going to kill me, I was able to surrender to being part of us. And once I joined the us is when the miracles started happening.
And do you feel that since you have had that experience, when you had that experience, now that you're working with other people, and I'm sure that the first time that you had to work with somebody on an intervention level, it had to be, you know, kind of scary to you in a way.
Yeah, because I would say that. I guess at the beginning it was scary, and today still, you, I don't know if scary is the correct term, but it there is an anxiety there because you never know where the addict's going to be when you meet with them,
mm-hmm.
You know, physically, emotionally, you know, if they're going to, you know, tear up the room or if they're going to throw a tantrum. We set as many roadblocks as possible so that doesn't happen. But, you know, you never know where that person is at their disease, and you have to just be able to be competent enough to meet them where they are at.
And you are in a situation where when you go into the intervention and you're telling them your story, do you tell them your story? Do you tell them, you know, exactly what took place in your life?
Usually I do case by case. You know, what I do for a living and my recovery program are completely separate.
Okay.
What I do for a living is I go in there and I educate the family on tools and healthy boundaries that they could put into place to help guide their loved one into treatment. And when the addict does come into the room, I'm just sitting there. After I educate them, that's usually between a 4 to 7 hour process that we sit with the family and do that pre-intervention, and numerous hours on the phone also before that time, before that intervention takes place. So, you know, there's lots behind the scenes that happen, and then the day of the intervention, I sit back and it's more of watching how the family interacts with the addict and seeing if they followed my lead from the education that I gave them the night before, the day before, or the weeks before, or if they go back into their old behaviors, and then I'm able to gently guide them back on track.
Mm. And you literally have to, you know, go through that process, I'm sure, by holding their hand the whole way.
Yeah, the whole way. I mean, it's just, you know, if you give them enough room to go back to their old behaviors, it's easier for them. That's what they're used to. And that's what my job is to really get to empower them, because, you know, the family members, the loved ones that are watching their addicts, you know, sit there and die from this disease, they feel so powerless that there's nothing they could do. They've tried to get them help. They've done everything that they can, and they just feel so powerless. And my job is to give them back that power and let them know that, no, you still do have control over this situation. We are not going to let this addiction kill your loved one, and we're going to take back control. So I almost look at it as a torch. You know, somebody has to hold the torch and carry that torch until the addict's ready, because when addicts are in recovery and working them their program, they're leading the team. They're leading their families. They're leading everybody to fight their disease of their addiction, because they're working their steps. They're working with their sponsors. They're doing everything necessary. But it takes a while for that addict to take the torch and take that lead. And what they have is we have treatment facilities that help them, you know, understand the process and understand the disease and get to the rock, to the core of their belief of why they end up using to cover up some kind of trauma or something that's happened in their life, you know, why they need to medicate themselves. So all of that is part of handing over the torch to the addict to hopefully give them their lights back, because the disease owns their lights at that time.
And this is something that's currently going on. I'm sure everybody knows about the Michael Jackson situation and everything that took place there. Have you found, and I've watched the show A&E Intervention, and I've watched it a lot, actually, and I love the show, but one of the things that I have seen is that a person that is, you know, going through trials and tribulations, the denial is bad enough. But if you take a celebrity and you mm-hmm. now have to do an intervention on a celebrity of the caliber of like somebody like Michael Jackson, and you have to walk through the door and convince them through their denial that there's something wrong with him, is that a difficult thing?
No, I don't think so. Personally, I've been in that situation before with different people. You know, unfortunately not with his family, but I have been in that situation where there have been high-profile individuals that, you know, are unwilling to accept the gift of treatment and recovery. But I believe that every single addict out there, I don't care if you're the person on Skid Row, homeless with no money, to the person that is on top of the world and has all the fame and fortune in the world, I don't care which one you are. If you're an addict, as we know, addiction is not prejudice. It hits
absolutely
all walks
not.
Of life.
Absolutely.
And if we're able, every single one of those addicts, every one of them has a rock bottom. I don't care what it, who they are, they have a situation in their lives that they would say, I would rather go to treatment or at least listen to my family than this happening to me. And my job as a professional interventionist, and you really need to be trained in this because you need to focus on, you know, what is it going to be, number one, for that rock bottom for that individual, and then the most important part is how do you present it to them, and do you really take it that far? Do you, you know, when do you take it that far? So, you know, a good one for many people that I've used is, as we all know, it is an unsafe environment for children to be brought up in an addictive family.
Mm-hmm.
So the Betty Ford Center has a program down there that's from 7-year-olds to 12-year-olds because they realize that children have already been affected by the disease if they have a parent or a guardian bringing them up in that household that are addicts. So what I've done in the past is we open up the door and we say, listen, if you don't want to sit down with us and have a conversation, we're going to have to contact Child Protective Services and get the state involved.
Mm.
And we don't want to do that. We don't want your children to be taken, you know, into foster homes. That's not our goal here. But if you don't sit down and have a conversation with us, then and our only other option is to leave the children in an unsafe environment or get them the proper care that's necessary, then we're going to have to do that. And with the families that I've worked with them in the past, I mean, I'm telling you, I've had mothers where they would say, because they were addicted to crystal meth, you know, say, fine, call Child Protective Services.
Wow.
And I don't think that's a win-win. I don't want to have to get them involved if we don't have to. So some interventionists would be fine. Let's do it. You know, let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and do it. And then, I mean, this is one example that I worked with one family on in the past, and we went to the mother, and she said, I don't care, you know, fine, because she knew her husband would take care of the kids, and she, you know, her husband would just leave her.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like, fine, I don't care, get Child Protective Services involved. And then the one thing after hours, I mean, if you have an untrained professional leading the intervention, they may have called Child Protective Services, or if you don't use an interventionist that's trained in this, they may have called Child Protective Services, and that's a lose-lose. That's not getting the person into treatment and getting them the help that they need. So what we did from there is we knew her reputation meant a lot to her in her community. So we printed up flyers before the intervention, and we said, well, we're going to go around to the neighborhood and all the places that you frequently go to is the grocery store, the liquor store, and we're going to hand them out these flyers that say that we did a professional intervention on you. We're asking for their assistance in getting you into treatment because you're an alcoholic and you're killing yourself, and we're going to ask them for their support, and we're going to start within our neighborhood. And she went ballistic because in her mind, she didn't think the neighbors knew that she was an addict. She thought that everybody thought she had the perfect life.
Mm-hmm.
And so for her, that was enough to get her to surrender and say, okay, I'll go get this help.
Always the last one to know, right?
Always the last one to know. And everybody has a rock bottom. It's just about figuring out what it is, creating it, and raising it in a gentle, loving, respectful manner, because that addict is not a bad person. They're a sick person. So you're not going to get Child Protective Services in. You're not going to go around the neighborhood handing out flyers, you know, and creating a worst-case scenario than really helping the people.
Ken, when we come back, I wanted to ask you some things on people trying to do interventions themselves, because you brought up a great point. We're going to go to a break here, and when we come back, Ken Seeley from Intervention 911 in the show A&E Intervention is on with us live. We're going to talk to him about self interventions and how good they work. We'll be back right after this message.
The First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach has been part of the 12-step community for 14 years, and they've helped thousands of people to recover from addiction and the issues surrounding addiction. First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach is a sober living community built on the 12-step approach. Male or female, you can learn to be responsible again. Their 3 to 6 month intensive sober living house features a compassionate and structured program, and they work with attorneys and the courts. Call the First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach today, 954-942-7414. That's 954-942-7414. Or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com. Remember, if the elevator to your success is broken, you must take the steps. Take the first step today by calling First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach, 954-942-7414. Or go online to firststepsoberhouse.com.
I want to let you know about something I recently discovered. It's called the Sound Pillow. The Sound Pillow is a standard twin-size pillow with 2 stereo speakers buried deep within a plush hypoallergenic pillow. And what it does is pretty cool. It can put you in a state of total relaxation. You plug the Sound Pillow into any MP3, CD player, iPod, or other personal listening device with a standard headphone jack. Turn on your favorite meditation music, nature sounds, hypnosis, or self-help CD, whatever you choose, then lay back and let go. The Sound Pillow stereo sound will surround your head with the perfect combination of your sounds, and the Sound Pillow will relax the mind and body. And no, you can't feel the speakers. Check out the pillow at soundpillow.com or call toll-free 877-846-6488. With Sound Pillow, sleep never sounded so good.
Do you think you have a problem with addiction? We can help. The staff at Destination Hope is dedicated to providing the highest quality substance abuse and dual diagnosis treatment possible. A private all-male facility focused on issues specific to men, Destination Hope offers a unique environment for the individual to build a foundation for recovery. Destination Hope utilizes a broad spectrum of therapeutic approaches to provide our clients with the tools needed to battle addiction now and after treatment. Included in treatment at Destination Hope is a strong family program, which allows the client's entire family to become a part of the patient's recovery process. Note that chemical dependency is a disease and must be treated as such. Destination Hope's team uses solution-focused therapies to help each individual achieve long-term recovery. Our treatment philosophy includes reality therapy, cognitive behavioral therapies, motivational interviewing, relapse prevention, 12-step self-help philosophies, and our proudest achievement, destination therapy. Destination therapy is a goal-oriented approach to life's bleakest dilemmas and problems caused and heightened by substance abuse. At Destination Hope, clients prepare for the challenges and realities of everyday life while receiving treatment in a supportive and structured environment. Destination Hope can offer many different types of unique treatment. Call us to discuss your options at 888-684-4673 or go to destinationhope.net. Give yourself a break. Make that call now at 888-684-4673 or go to destinationhope.net.
You are invited to get interactive with the Holistic Health Magazine show. Email your questions and comments to info@holistichealthmagazine.com. That's info@holistichealthmagazine.com. Now, back to today's show.
All right, welcome back to the show. Of course, it's the Holistic Health Magazine radio show all about recovery. And what we're doing today is we're having a great interview with Ken Seeley. Ken Seeley is the founder of Intervention 911, and he is also, of course, one of the on-camera interventionists that's featured on the groundbreaking A&E television series Intervention. And Ken has been gracious enough to be able to talk to us today about, of course, how he got into this profession and how his own recovery and his profession are two separate things, and he has to work his recovery every day. But most importantly, he can actually help people today in a way that he has never been able to help people, in his past before, getting sober. And that's always a highlight to recovery. But what we're going to talk about right now, and it's important that, you know, I've had a lot of people talk to me about intervention, and, you know, family members say, well, we don't need a professional. We can do it ourselves. And, Ken, what's your feeling on that?
Well, it's funny that you bring that up today, because I spoke to a mother regarding her 45-year-old son. I would say we talked about before the holidays, before Christmas, back in early December. And I just got an email from her today that they did an intervention with the friends and the family, and they did it on their own. And the person went to treatment for 2 weeks and then left, and nothing's changed. She said it's times a million on how bad things have gotten since that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I really don't recommend it. I really, really recommend that, you know, no addict, and in all the years that you've been doing this also, you know that no addict stops without hitting a bottom, without hitting some form of a rock bottom.
Absolutely.
And so my job as a professional is to figure out what that's going to be in every aspect of their lives, financial, emotional, spiritually, you know, every aspect of their life, figure out what their rock bottom is going to be, and then raise it in a loving, professional, loving, respectful manner. And then once they've hit that rock bottom and the family stays firm with their consequences, their ultimatums, I like to call them healthy boundaries, when they stay firm with their healthy boundaries, there's no room for the addiction to live within that family environment. You know, the minute that they find out that they're either relapsed or they're not working their program and not going to meetings, there's consequences that this family has put into place that are pretty aggressive, that are going to take immediate action the minute they find out that that's happening.
And that's why it's important for you as the interventionist to be able to follow up on those things. So that way, you know, you keep them, you know, it's to thy own self be true with our recovery, but it's the same thing for the family members. They have to be true to what they have said and stated.
Yes, they have to, you can never go in. I give them, like the examples that I gave you earlier, mm-hmm. I give them hundreds of different examples that are very effective, very successful, but I always let them know we are not going in there and telling them something that you're not prepared to do. If they choose to fight us tooth and nail, if they decide that, no, I am not going, and there's nothing you can make me do. I mean, like with that one woman that we were talking about, we started walking down the neighborhood street to hand out the flyers. And once she saw we're taking action is when she really surrendered to this and said, whoa, they're not playing games here.
Mm. And you bring up a valid point. Earlier you were talking about the family members and young children and things like that. Here's if you set the addict aside, do you believe that treatment has to incorporate the family as a whole?
Absolutely. I think that's the only way that, you know, or not the only way, because I've seen hundreds and thousands of people get sober without, you know, family participation, but I think that's the easiest way for the addict to really get through this process.
And when you deal with the family that's in denial, you know, I've, you know, at one time in my life I was working for a place called G&G Holistic, and I was an intake counselor, and I would set up interventions and do things. And what I would find out, it was amazing for me. I found that on one end you would have one of the parents or one of the siblings that really knew that there was an issue going on. And all the rest of them, well, you know, it's not that bad. You know, he's having a little bit of fun. You know, I don't think it's as extreme as my wife is saying. How do you get through that family dynamic before you can even get to the addict?
Great question. Love that one. What I normally do is I get the one that's carrying the torch. That's the one person you're talking about. That's
mm-hmm.
the person that's picking up the phone and calling and making the first step. What I usually do is ask them not to present this to the rest of the family if there's hesitation. Most of the time, by the time that they call us, I would say, and I'm sure this has been your experience too, most of the time, you know, 70-80% of the time, the rest of the family and the rest of the friends are on board.
Mm-hmm.
But with that 20-30% of the time that, you know, there's only one person on board that really gets this, and they want to know how to communicate it to their family, I say, do nothing. Just say to them that, say nothing to them regarding what our plan of action is going to be,
But ask them if they're willing to participate in a conference call with a professional. Say, listen, I've seen a few signs, and these are the signs that I've seen demonstrated that I'm worried about our loved one. Would you be willing to get on a conference call with a professional that could help us figure out how to help our loved one?
Mm. And through that, when you have that and you have that conference call, do you still have any hold-offs, or is that where all the information comes out, where you have people saying, well, you know something, Ken, do you really think it's this extreme?
Yep, and you get that all the time. So then you use them as a team to dissect the disease. And what you do is the first person brings up their concerns, and then I start going around the room, you know, around in the call. Who else has a concern? Who else has seen some of these red flags? And then I point out some of the red flags, and then I educate them on the disease of addiction. And then I let them know that, you know, this disease only ends in three places: jails, death, or recovery.
Hmm.
That's where this disease ends. It used to be jails, institutions, and death, but they don't even lock you up in a psych ward anymore. You either get put into jail, you die from this, or you end up in recovery.
And did you, as you go through this process with the family members and you finally see the light, or they see the light, so to speak, what usually transpires from that point? Do they go to the couch with you, like you finally have the meeting where everybody gets together, the pre-intervention to the intervention, and everybody's sitting together, and do you still have people that might not be willing to go to the extremes? And when I talk about going to the extremes, like, listen, you know, we're going to call DCF or Children and Family Services if you don't. And they said, well, you know, I think that's a little extreme, don't you? Haven't you ever heard something like that from these people?
All the time. And with those people, what we do is we go down the list and say, well, what other tool do you think would be effective? What other thing do you think will get them to listen and go to treatment? So we kind of put it back on them and say, listen, and I've had it where some of them are just not willing to do anything. They're just like, no, I'm not going to do that. And, you know, I did an intervention recently, and the son and the brother, you know, within the first 10 minutes left the room and ran and never came back for the entire day because they were scared to death of the individual.
Wow.
So, you know, you do see that. But what I like to do is at the pre-intervention is to find out, you know, how far they're willing to take it. And then if they do backpedal, then we always ask them, well, you know, if you do let them stay in their disease, you know, I'm not blaming the addict here, because the addict is that's part of their disease, is denial. That's, if they had cancer and the one symptom that was for breast cancer is a tumor, you know, then why would you blame the patient? You don't blame the patient. You know, that's their number one that's the number one symptom for this disease is denial.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to help them knock down that wall of denial and help them through the process. And if it was your loved one that was dying from a disease like cancer or, you know, some other life-threatening disease, you would not sit back and say, oh, well, let's just wait for one more DUI, or, you know, oh, it's only one DUI, and they didn't really hurt anybody, you know, and I know that they make, you know, when they start drinking, but they don't drink every day. They only drink at parties, but when they start, they don't have that off switch, and they get verbally abusive, but it's, you know, it's a little bit less than it used to be, and so they keep covering up and covering up and covering up. One day they're going to get in an accident like we read upstate New York, where that woman was driving down the wrong side of the street and killed her family and another family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what happens with this disease. If you go to Mothers Against Drunk Driving, I think 5 people a day die from this disease, from alcohol abuse only, drinking and driving.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And here we have the tool to be able to intervene and to be able to do something to help the person that is sick, in denial. And you made a great analogy, because if, you know, you showed up and the doctor said, listen, your tumor at this point is only 1 centimeter, are you going to say, well, that's not too bad, I'll wait till it's 5 centimeters?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I don't need really that much help, but, you know, I'm just going to see. Maybe it'll go away on its own.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll just disappear, you know.
Hey, I love the fact that you're on fire for this. You know, you're 20 years plus sober. You're on fire to help people. And you know, one of the things that I loved, and I was talking with Eric today from your office, and I was on your Facebook last night, and I was just kind of like looking through your Facebook, and I was on it this morning a little bit. And it was amazing that you actually will, you know, you're speaking with people on your Facebook. You're actually taking the time to say hello to people and, you know, put out there, you know, what you're going through personally. And I love it. I love the fact that you are somebody that, you know, shows up as a real human being. And, you know, it makes it easier for people to be able to say, you know, something is easy to talk to. And I think that really kind of fits everything together with your intervention 911. If you haven't checked it out, I want to tell you it's a great website to go to. It's intervention911.com. And for the listeners on Blog Talk Radio or Holistic Health Magazine or 1470 AM, check out this website because he really explains a lot of it, and there's a lot of good information there that you can really see what a family can do for the person in denial, but most importantly, I think, you know, the family that might be in denial that's saying, well, we're not sure, check out the website, and then make the phone call. I think that, Ken, what I'd like to ask you in closing of the show is that do you believe that as far as addiction is concerned, because there's all kinds of things out there that tell us, well, if you do an intervention, in the end, when you do all the statistics, the person that has the intervention or doesn't have the intervention, the numbers are always the same, 1 out of 35 or whatever. Do you believe in those statistics, or do you believe that anybody can be helped if the family is willing to support it and stand together?
Yeah, I think the statistics would be closer to 90% if the family participates in helping them stay sober, because once you finally surrender to the recovery process, life is amazing. I know you guys are having, A&E puts on a recovery project last year, mm-hmm. and they're doing it again this year. Have you heard about it, the march across the Brooklyn Bridge?
No, I didn't hear about it.
You didn't hear about it? September 12th, they're doing a march across the Brooklyn Bridge, and it's everybody in recovery. They get somebody from every single state in the country.
Yeah, actually, it's rallyforrecovery.com. Actually, we're doing it down here. It's being presented by intherooms.com.
Yes, yeah, the same exact. They're doing it in conjunction. A&E is doing it up in the Brooklyn Bridge. You guys are doing it down in South Florida. And, you know, it's just a way to go out and celebrate recovery. I mean, here I was, the one that was never accountable. And my sister and my niece that lives in Manhattan, and last year they all showed up. My family showed up, and we were expecting 1,000 people last year to do the march, and 5,000 showed up. And this year, September 12th, we're expecting, you know, 10,000 people to show up. So recovery is fun. Recovery is a lot of fun. You get your life back. You get your family back. But my job is to help them hit that rock bottom to finally surrender to treatment and recovery.
So Ken, let me ask you, are you going to be down here in South Florida with us during the walk?
No, I'm doing the one up in, they fly us out to the one in New York.
Okay.
So that one is, maybe next year I'll come out to yours instead, mate, because they're branching out because it's so big.
You know, Ken and Ron from intherooms.com are going to be on with me on Thursday talking about this whole thing. So it's funny that you're discussing it right now, because they're going to be actually on the air talking about how this whole thing opened up. For rallyforrecovery.com, and you know, from my understanding right now, there's a few thousand people that are already registered and ready to go. They are looking for more registration people, but you know, again, that, you're right, it is a good time for all. And I think, you know, that stigma that people have at the very beginning, you know, even family members, well, little Johnny can't be an addict. You know, what will the neighbors think? What will people think? Well, in the end, when you are really, truly a healthy and productive member of society and you can carry a message, your foundation message is, you know, something, my life was complete hell, and this is where I'm at today. That stands for a lot in a community.
And to see the families change and seeing, you know, my favorite is watching how drug courts, seeing how their families change, the participants in the drug court program. I mean, watching their smile on their loved one's face that they get their loved one back because they were so close. They had an opportunity to either go through that program or go to jail. They were, their bottom was that close of, you know, losing everything, their families, everything. But to see them, you know, and that's what the recovery project is like and the recovery rally that they're, that's going to be down there. You know, all your listeners, it's just a great opportunity to see that, you know, we addicts are not the people on Skid Row. I'm a recovering addict. Everybody, you know, there's lots and lots of people, lots of people that you watch on TV that are recovering addicts, in the movies that are recovering addicts. There's a lot of us out there, and we're participating in life now because of this program. And if you have a loved one, you know, if you have a loved one that has, you know, the red flags, I also put out a book this year, Face It and Fix It, is it'll show you the red flags. You know, look for the red flags and see if your loved one has that. And it's, and addiction is further deeper than just picking up a drink or a drug. It's something that they don't feel comfortable in their own skin. And give them the gift of what they were born to be here for instead of just watching them suffer and die from this disease.
It is a hellacious suffering, too. You know, in the end of addiction, you, and here's the sad part. You know, I know at the end of my addiction, I begged to either die or get sober. And, you know, you get to that point, you know, where you're like, you know, please let this something happen because I can't live like this anymore. It's torturous. And I'm sure you experienced the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Mine was more about, please let me die, just make it quick and easy.
Don't let me linger, baby.
Exactly. Just do it quick and make it easy.
So great. Ken, we want to thank you today. What a great message, a powerful message. We, you know, love, you know, your work with Intervention 911. And love seeing you on A&E Intervention. It's always a pleasure to see you do your magic on the show. And we look forward to having you back in the future. And by the way, Ken is on the cover. You're actually, we have a story in Holistic Health Magazine with you featured on it on the cover this month. So if you get a chance, pick it up. He's got some great information in there also. Ken, we want to thank you again for being on the show.
Oh, thank you so much.
And we'll look forward to seeing you and talking to you.
Yeah, soon, I hope.
Absolutely.
All right, bye now.
Yep, bye-bye. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Ken Seely, and Ken Seely is, as you can see, as down-to-earth as anybody that you would expect to run into. We want to thank, of course, our listeners on Blog Talk Radio, HolisticHealthMagazine.com. We want to thank WNN 1470 AM for keeping us in the seat. And most importantly, we also want to thank our sponsors for today's show, which was the First Step Sober House of Pompano Beach, and it's firststepsoberhouse.net, and destinationhope.net, Ben and Tom. Tommy, we want to say thank you to those folks because, you know, again, without sponsorships, we can't bring messages like this and messages of hope to the community. So we want to thank our sponsors. And at this time, what we're going to do is we're going to go out for the rest of the, of course, today, and we'll be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock, and Patrick Corona will be on talking about fitness and feeling better and how people in recovery can get into fitness and that experience and start dealing with the mind, body, and spirit while in recovery. We'll be talking to you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great day. Thanks.
The opinions expressed on the sponsored program were strictly those of its host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.